Yo, what's good, everybody? Welcome to the Sports Business Podcast. I am your host, Eric Compton, a.k.a. Money Compton. This podcast is available on all platforms. Wherever you're getting your podcast from, make sure you hit the like and subscribe button. You can find me on Instagram at Money Compton. You can also find me on X, formerly known as Twitter. I guess that's the new saying now, at Sports Business. That's SPRTZBIZNESS. You can also email the show, sportsbusiness@gmail.com. Coming up on today's show, we are going to talk about our week five winners and losers outside of this NFL week that has just taken place. We'll also go get into the dummy of the day and possibly a couple of little jabs of the world of sports as well. So for first things first, man, apparently the Bay Area, the Golden State Warriors have signed off on having a new WNBA team. It looks like they'll be expanding as of the 2025 season, which will, I guess they're asking fans and employees for what the name should be for the Golden State or Bay Area team for the WNBA, which is pretty cool. It's dope that the Bay Area gets another sporting franchise. However, I'm trying to figure out where these basketball players, where these WNBA players are going to be living. Like, have y'all looked up to see what the average rent is or housing is in the San Francisco Bay Area? On not to mention, the average WNBA player only makes $113,000. Like, my man Brock Purdy still has a roommate with Sam Darnold just to be able to afford the housing in the Bay Area. So I'm trying to figure out, are the Warriors going to give some type of subsidized living, or are they going to be able to come up with some type of apartment complex for these women's basketball players? Because the pay scale ain't really there for them just to be splurging on housing out there in the Bay Area. But nevertheless, it's a really, really good opportunity to get the game to grow out in the West Coast. But we shall see. It's just an interesting, bold move to put a franchise out there in the Bay Area. But super duper happy that they did it, and we shall see what ends up happening. Anyways, let's get into some of my week five NFL winners and losers. So, but first things first, the winners for week five. My first set of winners are going to go out to the Jacksonville Jaguars, or are we calling them the London Jaguars? Because I guess they spent the last 2 weeks out there in London, England. And I believe the Khan family is asking for the city for $1 billion to renovate their stadium in Jacksonville. However, even with the $1 billion ask from the city, they're still going to be playing games in London for the next 10 years or something like that. There's an exclusive deal where the Jags go out there and give up a home game for the next, at least until 2030 for sure. So kind of weird, but nevertheless, we may see the Jaguars relocating to London within the next few years. But the Jags, they were able to kind of dethrone the Bills, and the Bills, hey, we're not going to lie, they getting injuries all over the defensive side of the ball. Even though they got Von Miller coming back, they lost Milano, the linebacker. They also lost their Tre'Davious White, I believe is his name, the DB, to some season-ending injuries, and they're just getting decimated on the defensive side of the ball. However, the Jags were able to be acclimated. They, like I said, they spent the last 2 weeks out there in England, and they made things happen, and they were able to ball out, and now they are 3-2 in this interesting, what we initially thought was going to be possibly one of the worst divisions in football has become instantly one of the more interesting divisions in football. Like, you got the Jaguars that are 3-2, you got the Colts that are 3-2, you also got the Texans, who even though they lost yesterday, they're still playing really, really hard, and they're still 2-3, as well as the Titans, which right now, who would have thought the Titans might be the low, the baseline, the bottom of the barrel team in the AFC South. So the Jags with Trevor Lawrence, ETN, Calvin Ridley, and then they have a pretty good defense, were able to just hold the Buffalo Bills to 20 points after they just gave, almost put up a 50 burger against the Dolphins the week before. That's pretty impressive. So really, really happy to see the Jags still trying to get some of that mojo after they came out the block slow last year, and they're still, you know, still trying to figure things out, and Doug Peterson has definitely got them boys in the right direction. So huge shout out to the Jags. They definitely get one of my week five winners this week. Number two would be the Cincinnati Bengals. Like, welcome to the party, y'all, because y'all been kind of MIA, and this might have been Joe Burrow's best game this season so far. They were able to kind of, you know, get a little pick-me-up game against the Cardinals and put them boys out of the misery and beat them by, you know, by 14 points. But your boy Jamar Chase, I guess he really wasn't lying when he said he's always effing open, because my man had set the record for most catches, and I believe he had 3 touchdowns yesterday as well. And for the first time, it looked like the Bengals look like the Bengals that we have been used to seeing. I believe they have been represented. They've played in the AFC Championship game the last 2 seasons. So they look like they are kind of maybe bending that corner. You still had the Steelers and the Ravens beat each other up, which now I believe the Steelers are the division leaders, I believe, is what I saw. So very, very interesting to see how this plays out. But the Cincinnati Bengals, all, you know, break the glass in case of emergency situation yet, but the season isn't lost for them. They got a couple of tough games coming up pretty soon. I know they play the Niners in the near future, but that AFC North division has gotten very, very interesting with Cincy now kind of entering the chat room. So good for them. My next set are the New York Jets. Hey, man. I didn't know if I was going to put the Jets as my winners or the Broncos as my losers. Somebody asked me, they were like, yo, how come you don't pick the other team as your losers? And I'm like, well, I'm already covering one side of the spectrum. Like, I'm not going to do both. But I was torn on giving the Jets the win or the Denver Broncos as a loser. So I ended up giving the Jets the nod because it was a high-stakes game. Not necessarily a high-stakes game. Like, you got, you know, it was a whole lot of bad blood between Sean Payton saying that Nathaniel Hackett, who is now the current offensive coordinator for the New York Jets, saying that that was one of the worst coaching gigs that has ever taken place while he was a coach last year. And come to find out, you know, the Broncos gave up, 70 points against the Miami Dolphins the other day. And they have only won one game so far this season. And now it looks like the wheels are falling off, where Sean Payton is now, you know, he's showing on the sidelines where he's screaming at Russell Wilson. And, you know, the Jets, with the season almost kind of being a washer, they're still trying to keep hope alive and still trying to keep the wheels together and keeping everything afloat while Aaron Rodgers is, you know, recovering from this torn Achilles, where still he's saying that he has a chance of playing this season. I don't know how, but we shall see. But the game was very, very personal, and the Jets were able to put up 31 points, which they have. That's, I think, that all the season high this year. The margin of victory, I think, is also another a season high by beating them by 10 points. So a 2-possession game. I definitely think that the Jets, now that they've beaten the Bills and now they've gotten the win over the Broncos, they got a couple of soft landing spots in the near future in their schedule as well, where they can kind of maybe string together some interesting feel-good moments as well. Zach Wilson, even though last week they lost against the Kansas City Chiefs, that probably might have been his best game as a pro, hands down. So the Jets are definitely my week 5 winners. Like, if they can kind of just, their defense can kind of just hold it together. I know their offensive lineman is gone for the season as well. I can't think of his name. I think he's a tackle and guard, but he's gone for the year. But Breece Hall has been balling out. Garrett Wilson, whenever he can get the ball, he still knows how to show out and knows what to do with the ball as well. So they still, that's another team that you can't necessarily count them out just yet. They are still in the mix of things, especially with how bad the Patriots have looked. The Bills have been so inconsistent this year, and you know, you can possibly see the Jets maybe trying to squeak in the back door if all else fails, and they do need a little bit of luck. They're going to need a little bit of help from other teams, but I wouldn't shut the door on the Jets just yet. My next set of winners, I mean, come on now. Did y'all not watch the ass whooping that the 49ers gave out to the Dallas Cowboys last night? Like, here's the thing, bro. Like, I would say a majority of the primetime games this year, and we already know Thursday Night Football, I don't consider those primetime games. That's just garbage that they're putting out on the field. Like, it's not even 95% of the time, it's not even worth me mentioning, worth watching. And thank the good Lord that the NBA is coming back in about 2 weeks, because I can't take no more of this Thursday night garbage. So I don't count those games. I mean, we just had the Bears and the Lionel Richie and the Commodores play. I think this week we got the Kansas City Chiefs against the Denver Broncos play. Yeah, like, that's cool and all that the Chiefs are playing, but ain't nobody trying to watch the Broncos. They don't draw. But for the most part, like even last week, I didn't really watch the Sunday night game because I thought the Jets were just going to lay an egg to the Chiefs, and they didn't. But you had an ugly game with the Browns and the Steelers. You had the Giants out here laying an egg against the Dallas Cowboys. So you had the Steelers and the Raiders was another bad Sunday night game. You've just had really, really bad primetime games. And so everyone was really excited that the Dallas Cowboys were going to play against the San Francisco 49ers. You know, if you're a 90s kid, 80s/90s kids like I am, where, you know, essentially back in the day, the NFC Championship between the San Francisco 49ers and the Dallas Cowboys was essentially the Super Bowl, because the winner of that game would literally steamroll whoever came out of the AFC in the Super Bowl. So everyone always used to consider the NFC Championship game the Super Bowl, because it wasn't nobody going to beat neither one of the two teams. So you thought you was going to get a good game last year, especially being the fact that the Cowboys had played two relatively closely tight games against the 49ers in the playoffs the last two seasons. But I'm not going to lie, bruh, that was a bad football game. Like, the fact that the Dallas Cowboys didn't even put up an effort, and they just laid down and just, they got ran off the field, literally, and the game was out of reach by the beginning of the fourth quarter. I think it was already 42-10 by the time it was the beginning of the fourth quarter, or halfway through the fourth quarter. The game was over, essentially, right around halftime, if you want to keep it a buck. Here's the thing. The 49ers, and this was a bad take that I said at the beginning of the season, where I was like, ooh, I don't think the 49ers are going to be as good as they were last year. That was a bad take, man. I thought, I was like, man, I don't know if Brock Purdy is going to be able to throw the ball. How's he going to be looking off of that elbow surgery that was mysteriously a Tommy John surgery, but it wasn't a Tommy John surgery. They had prolonged the surgery process where they were saying that he might not be ready until September. And the next thing you know, he's throwing the ball in the middle of the training camp. So there was a lot of unknowns for me to say, hey, I don't know about this team. You know, like I said, I was like, man, there's a lot of people that want to get paid. They ended up getting Nick Bosa paid. They were able to get Hargraves in there. Trent Williams, he's still looking like an all-pro left tackle. Brandon Ayuk is looking like a number one wide receiver, a legit number one. You still got Debo Samuel, you know, George Kittle. Then you got Kyle Juszczyk. Then you got the running backs. I didn't even go down to Christian McCaffrey or that other dude who wears one glove and his other hands would be taped up, which is, I've never seen that before. Number 24 for the 49ers. But I thought that they were just going to take a step back. Nah, man. If anything, they've taken two steps forward. The San Francisco 49ers have scored 30-plus points in all five of their wins this year. They are beating teams by an average of close to 20 points. I think it's like 19.8. But they're smoking everyone. They have smoked everyone that they've played this year so far. Like, it hasn't even been close. I think the closest team that came, you know, the closest defeat was the Rams. And I think they only lost by 10 points. But still, it's not even close. They are out here literally just smoking the entire field. Which leads me to think, whenever it's time for them to play against the Eagles sometime later on this year, that is going to be the game to watch, because I don't see anybody beating this team. I know, you know, maybe next week could be considered a trap game. They're going to Cleveland, when you just don't know what you're going to get with Cleveland. It's a 10 a.m. local start time for them, so you don't know how the body clocks are going to go. But this team seems to be very, very locked in. They seem to be hungry. They seem to want it. And they have been by far the most complete team I have seen, both on the offensive side of the ball and a decent defensive side of the ball. It's not even close. You can possibly say that the Eagles probably played their best game yesterday against the LA Rams. But even then, they have shown a little. I'm not going to say they've slowed down, but their DBs, Darius Slay, Gardner Johnson, or I'm sorry, Bradbury. They look a little bit slower, and I don't know if that they're just coming out the block slow and they're just kind of holding on to their legs a little bit more because they know it's a long season. But their DBs do look a little bit slower. However, Hassan Reddick is balling out of control. That D-line is still amazing, so maybe they don't need to be catching up as fast as they once did. However, they just look a little bit slow. But we shall see. But yeah, the 49ers, I mean, I got that take all the way wrong, you know, and it's okay. You know, sometimes your boy gets things wrong, and I'm not bold, you know, I don't have enough pride to, you know, to say that I was wrong or I'm always right, but that's definitely a take where I was like, ooh, I might be eating that one real fast. So, yeah, that's my week 5 winners. And before we segue into the losers, as we are going to that, I definitely got to put out the Cowboys and just say the Cowboys ain't on the same level as the Niners or even the Eagles. I don't know how good the Lions are. Like, somebody asked me the other day, they were like, how come you don't talk about the Lions? Why the hell do I need to talk about the Lions? The Lions have never won anything in my life. The Lions haven't won nothing since the 50s before there wasn't even a Super Bowl. Okay? The Lions are getting the proper press coverage that they need. They are the Lions. And until I see the Lions actually win, and even when they do, I probably still ain't going to talk about them. Yeah, they're a feel-good story. Yeah, Dan Campbell has them boys playing. But, bruh, they smoked the Panthers. Like, take it easy. If you want to talk about their week one win against the Kansas City Chiefs, that's cool. I ain't got no problem with that. That's fine. But in order for the Lions, for them to get street cred, they're going to have to do a little bit more than that than just blow out the Carolina Panthers. So all y'all need to take it easy about why certain teams are getting a certain amount of coverage. Now, as I'm saying this, I do think that now we can probably pump the brakes on the Dallas Cowboys because they just ain't on that same level. And the cool thing about it is Dak Prescott is going to have to answer a lot of questions at the end of the year. And they are in this weird conundrum where the Cowboys, they're too good to tank, but also they ain't good enough to make a Super Bowl run. Sure, they can maybe win one, maybe get an NFC championship game, but if they got to play the Philadelphia Eagles or the San Francisco 49ers right now, the way that all three of those teams, the way they are built right now, it'll be the same result that they got last night. Now, some people can say that the Cowboys had somewhat of a Pop-Tart schedule last year. That's fair. And now that this year that they're playing some legitimate teams, that's fair too. But I just don't think that there's a lot of things that's wrong with the Cowboys. Mike McCarthy, the times may have passed him up a little bit where he may be a little bit too old to be, you know, calling plays and he ain't keeping up with the times. I am very, 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 I like CeeDee Lamb. I mean, let me come out the blocks and say that I really like CeeDee Lamb. However, the Cowboys letting go of Amari Cooper didn't do CeeDee Lamb any favors where they think that he is a true number one receiver. I don't see that in him. Like, I don't see that dog in him. I think it was all the way up until the first half. He only had one catch for 6 yards. Come on, man. You got to do – I need more from you, bro, if you're supposed to be a true number one. You got to do more. And it wasn't like they were double-teaming him a lot. There was a lot of man coverage, which the 49ers don't play a lot of man. They usually play like a cover three shell defense. And he couldn't get nothing going. Like, I think he ended up having like 6 catches for 40-some yards. But I feel like when the lights shine the brightest for CeeDee Lamb, he ain't nowhere to be around. Now, he might have benefited a lot with Amari Cooper being on the other side. But I think the Cowboys made a mistake by giving Amari Cooper away for nothing. And it might be in the bite. It might end up paying themselves. They ain't going to do him no favors when it comes down to games like this. So, I don't know what the Cowboys can do to save face for the season, but I don't think that they are on the elite of the elites of the NFC. And honestly, right now, it's only two teams, and that's the Eagles and the Niners. So, my week 5 losers, let's go ahead and get cracking. Hey, man, a lot of y'all was on this whole Lamar Jackson needs to be the highest paid quarterback in league history. He wanted fully guaranteed money. He wanted fully guaranteed money, or I forgot where the story goes, but somehow he wanted the same contract that Deshaun Watson wanted, actually more. Hey, man, that didn't really age well. Like, did y'all know that Lamar Jackson leads the league in fumbles? You would think it was Danny Penny's. No, it's Lamar Jackson. He leads the league in turnovers since like last year. He has like 7 lost fumbles. I know for a fact that he's given away 2 games. Like, he gave away that week 1 game against the Las Vegas Raiders last year, I believe, where he threw the ball up and just got the ball intercepted. Did it again yesterday, turned the ball over twice, fumble and an interception at the goal line. Hey, man, I'm not knocking Lamar Jackson. I think that he is a great quarterback. I do think that he had a great season. I believe that was in 2019 when he won that MVP. But hey, man, what has he done since that MVP season? He's gotten hurt. His game really hasn't progressed. And yet, y'all still keep saying that he is a elite of the elite quarterback. Do y'all know that CJ Stroud might be a better quarterback than Lamar Jackson right now? It's possible. And he's only a rookie. Like, CJ Stroud right now is putting up top 10 quarterback numbers. I can't see how y'all try to justify Lamar Jackson getting all this money when he ain't really produced all like that. Just saying, he ain't been balling all like that. The Ravens, granted, I get it that they've lost a whole bunch of people, but I feel like the Ravens lose a whole bunch of people every doggone year. So if you already know that you are dealing with a brittle team, you gonna need to figure it out. Like, OBJ ain't what he once used to be. And that interception he threw going towards OBJ was completely coaching and even Lamar Jackson's fault. You can't throw a goal line fade out of shotgun. Like, you just can't. That's something that you got to be under center, because you got to get the timing right. And you also got to throw it on the outside shoulder of OBJ's, not on his inside where Joey Porter Jr., that was just barbecue chicken all day long for him. So let's just pump the brakes on all this Lamar Jackson just being elite of the elite of the elite. He had a great 2019 season. I'm just asking, what has he done since then? That's all I'm asking. He got all the help that he's got. Zay Flowers, he's got OBJ, he's still got Mark Andrews. He has a nice little set of weapons. But they out here dropping balls because they was out here practicing catching with rugby balls? I don't get it. So, yeah, you, the Ravens, yeah, you're definitely one of my losers this week. Hey, man, my next set. I feel like I talk about these fools every day. I didn't realize how bad they were. Well, I'm not going to say they get a golf clap because their defense is actually saving their butts because their offense is so horrible. And that's got to be the New York Giants. I said it last week that they had a soft schedule this year or last year. And now the Bills do, where they're playing legitimate teams. They play the Miami Dolphins, where Miami was low-key. It was almost giving me trap game vibes, where Tua threw two picks. One was a pick six. I felt like they could have put up a 50-burger. They didn't. Looking at it now, the defense has not played that bad for the Giants. Like, that might be the only thing that is saving the Giants from... That's probably the only thing that's saving Brian Daboll right now. And in fact, if I was... the Mara family, I probably will pull the hook. I probably might give Brian Daboll the hook right now and possibly put Wink Martindale as a coach, because at least he about the only person that's worthy of keeping his job right now. Brian Daboll, Uncle Fester, whatever you want, the dude from the Goonies, whatever you want to call him, he ain't it. Daniel Jones, like, I am actually surprised that Daniel Jones is just now getting hurt because of the time, just because of how reckless Brian Daboll has been with Daniel Jones as far as the blowouts. His offensive line has just been just atrocious, where Daniel Jones is getting teed off every game left and right. The fact that he has lasted for almost five games is a blessing in disguise. I don't know what this neck injury looks like, how long he's going to play, but oh, wait a minute. Who's the backup? Tyrod Taylor, another dude that's built out of glass. So let's see how this goes, because they might be going down to the third string quarterback if Daniel Jones ends up being hurt for a prolonged period of time. But the Giants, somebody told me the other day that they're 32 out of 32 in the pro football or the power index. I didn't know they were that bad. Like, I knew they were bad, but damn. Y'all, like, worse than the Panthers? Yeah. Y'all worse than, the Raiders won today. Like, y'all worse than the Patriots? Yeah. Like, ugh. And segueing into the Patriots, hey, man. When are we going to start looking at Bill Belichick a little bit weird? You know, for 20-some-odd years, he got away with being this a-hole towards the press, mumbling. It looked like he needed subtitles every time he talked on the Dallas, on the New York Jets. You can get away with it when you're winning, but now when you're losing, hey, man, I need answers, bro. I need to know why you've only scored 3 points in the last 2 weeks. You got shut out 34-0 this week against the Saints, and then the previous week before that, you lost by a lot against the Cowboys. Nah, bro, you're going to have to enunciate your words, bro. Speak up into the mic, because we need to know why you guys suck. Is it really just because Tom Brady was that dude, or is it because you have not produced an all-pro player on the offensive side of the ball since like 2014? You've only had two Pro Bowlers on special teams and in this time. And it's also time to start looking at Mac Jones, like I said last week, about, hey man, maybe he just reaped off the benefits of playing next to Jalen Waddle and Devontae Smith and Najee Harris in a great defense all those years at Alabama, because he don't give me the Jalen Hurts vibes of Alabama. He don't give me the Tua vibes from Alabama. This dude don't look like he is all that. But to his defense, Who he throwing the ball to? Juju Smith-Schuster? He hurt. Devontae Parker? I mean, okay. He ain't got nobody to throw the ball to. But the fact that Bill Belichick gave up 30-some-odd points to the Saints, and I'm not knocking the Saints. Like, I picked low-key picked the Saints being the NFC South winners because I thought that they had the most suitable quarterback. I didn't know Baker Mayfield was going to enter in the chat room and just have an above-average season. But the fact that they gave up 30, you couldn't score a safety, you couldn't get a field goal against the Saints? That's not good, man. And so, if I am Robert Kraft, I'm about to be looking at him and say, hey, man. I'm looking at Bill Belichick, and I'm going to say, hey, man. Either I'm hiring your GM, and we are now going to start making, we're going to be making all the personnel moves, or if you don't like it, you can kick rocks, because Bill Belichick cannot be running the team that he has been running this way. Like, it is very, very evident that the times have passed him by. He is using an outdated system or a philosophy of football that is just not working in 2023. It worked in the 2000s, it worked in the 2010s, and it may have worked all the way up, and no, it didn't work in 2020 because Tom Brady had dipset. But the fact that you are still running this dated system where you think that everyone can just do everyone's job, it don't work like that no more, bro. You need to get with the times. You need to start getting a little bit more analytical. You need to start reaching out and getting these coordinators, these younger coordinators that are more adapted to the game. But you out here getting Bill O'Brien, that ain't doing you no favors. I mean, hell, Matt Patricia was an offensive coordinator, but was once a defensive coordinator for you. Like, you just out here playing puzzles. You just trying to figure out if this puzzle piece fits in this hole and everything else. You just playing puzzles right now. So, Bill Belichick, you are definitely, and the New England Patriots, it's time for y'all to edge the stage right. Like, we've been talking about y'all too much for the last 20-some-odd years. Y'all had a nice little run, but we're done. We are done. There's no reason for us to talk about y'all no more. Book a straight plane to the Stone Ages because y'all are not relevant, and y'all are still playing Fred Flintstone football at this point. So, those are my Week 5 winners and losers this week. Listen to the Sports Business Podcast. I am your host, Eric Compton. Podcast is available on all platforms. Before we get up out of here, you already know we do the dummy of the day. I was torn on what I was going to do the dummy of the day, but hey, man, I got a phone call from somebody this morning, and we were talking about a whole bunch of stuff, and they went to the game, or they were at the game of the 49ers against the Cowboys last night. I was like, oh, how did halftime show go? And, you know, halftime is interesting. Like, you know, I went to the Raiders game opener, season opener this year, and they had Lil Wayne performing at halftime. And it was like, you're not going to believe who did the halftime show this year. And I was like, oh, who? The Sugar Hill Gang for the Dallas Cowboys against the San Francisco 49ers. The Sugar Hill Gang? Are you kidding me, Levi Stadium? And I get it that there's been a lot of hip-hop acts. I believe tonight the Monday Night Football game was the Raiders against the Packers, and they had Too Short and Warren G and somebody else. And so there's been a lot of hip-hop acts for a lot of these halftime shows because it's the 50th anniversary of hip-hop. I guess they went all the way back to the roots and picked up the OGs, the people that actually pioneered it all, which was the Sugar Hill Gang. But come on, man. Y'all can't get some E-40 out there. Y'all can't get Too Short. Y'all can't go get P-Lo. That's the best y'all can do? Was the Sugar Hill Gang? Come on, man. What are we doing, Levi's? Like, even a couple of years ago, I believe in, what was that, the year that the Niners went into the Super Bowl, so it was that 2019, 2020, I went to the NFC Championship game. They had Lil Jon as the halftime show. I can't recall what was the halftime show when I went to Levi's Stadium the other day when it was the Giants against the Niners. Don't really remember that. But, man, y'all's entertainment department, y'all gotta step y'all game up because it is garbage. So, yeah, Levi Stadium, step y'all's entertainment game up. I mean, hell, go get a high school band if you all gonna really just get the Sugar Hill Gang out here. But Levi Stadium, you definitely get the dummy of the day. Not to mention, it's not the most convenient stadium to go to just due to the fact of all the other traffic nightmares that it causes. But that's for another time. But anyways, I am your host, Eric Compton. Like I said, we do the show once a week. Podcast is available on all platforms, wherever you're getting it from. Like I said, make sure you tell your friends about me. You can find me on Instagram at Money Compton. You can also find me on Twitter / X at Sports Business. can also email me at sportsbusiness@gmail.com. Email me. Let me know what's one of the better halftime shows that you've been to. That's not a Super Bowl, because that's another debate. But yeah, a halftime show that you've been to that was cracking. Go ahead and email the show and let me know. And until next week, we definitely get into week 6. We're getting closer to NBA season. We'll be maybe dibbling up in a little bit of baseball, because we are going to be probably in the championship series next week as well. So lots of good stuff going on. Things are heating up. We're going to be really, week 6 in football. So we almost the third way through the season. But yeah, until then, y'all be safe, and I will talk to y'all next week. We're out.